and each day, each and every day. So let's begin today. Let's begin right now and change the world we live in. Thank you all. Have a great day. Listen to Peter B. Collins' show coming up next, right after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles. A $660 million settlement by the Los Angeles Catholic Archdiocese was made official today. The money will go to more than 500 victims of sexual abuse. Ray Boucher is the lead attorney for the victims.
It was not their fault. It was the fault of despicable, evil men that did despicable and evil things to them.
And one of the alleged victims, Steve Sanchez, made this request to the news media.
I hope that I am no longer, and I hope that all my other fellow victims are no longer alleged victims. $660 million should take that alleged off.
Cardinal Roger Mahoney was in the courtroom. He later issued a statement again apologizing for what took place. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles now with more CBS News. Here's Jim Taylor.
Now, he was waiting to see the governor of Colorado this afternoon when he proclaimed himself to be the emperor. Denver police spokesman Sonny Jackson picks up what happened next.
Man came into the governor's office. He was basically made some kind of threatening comment. State troopers were called. They came into the area. They ushered him out of the office. They were able to get him out. In the midst of that, there was a confrontation. In that confrontation, officers felt they had to fire. The man was armed. He is still here at the scene.
The man shot dead. The governor uninjured. It's his pitch to be the president of peace.
I will call together an international meeting this fall of representatives from nations that support a two-state solution, reject violence, recognize Israel's right to exist, and commit to all previous agreements between the parties.
President Bush proposing a Mideast conference which does not include Hamas.
Clearly there's a need for international diplomacy. The problem is that Bush is responding to the idea that he can deal with the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and isolate Hamas.
Phyllis Bennis, director of Middle East Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. Take drugs, go to work.
You think most drug addicts and alcoholics are out here on the streets? No way, says a federal government study pointing out the majority have full-time jobs. Based on surveys, 8% of full-time workers admit in the past month they've used illegal drugs, mostly marijuana. The figure's much higher for food service workers, 17%, and construction workers, 15%. The government is urging employers to help employees who have a drug problem. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Say adios to Seve Ballesteros.
Seve Ballesteros is definitely going to go down as one of the greatest steel players and one of the most passionate players the game has ever seen.
David Dusak, the golf.com, at the end of a career in which he won 5 majors and a record 50 European Tour events, Seve Ballesteros says he's lost his desire to play the game. At least 8 people killed, hundreds injured after a strong earthquake hit northwestern Japan today. Damage including a fire and a radioactive water leak. Stocks, the Dow closing at a record high, third straight session, up nearly 44 points. The NASDAQ down more than 9. This is CBS News.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to campusdoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit campusdoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Clogged roads can lead to clogged arteries if you live next to one. CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Living next to busy highways like this one can raise your risk of clogged arteries. A German study finds pollution spewing from heavy traffic leads to calcification inside arteries. This is the first time the connection has been shown, say the authors of this study in the journal Circulation.
So you think you're good enough to play video games?
Ready?
For a living?
Let's go!
DirecTV is introducing the Championship Gaming Series, a league aimed at turning gaming into a full-fledged spectator sport. The league has franchises around the world, top players with salaries of $30,000 plus bonuses. Lindsay is out. And what's that hot anklet she's wearing? It's an alcohol monitoring ankle bracelet. Lindsay Lohan released from drug rehab, and she's already been spotted at a trendy L.A. club wearing the ankle bracelet, which measures vapors from the skin, which the body makes when digesting alcohol. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. If pie is in the sky, where's cake?
A distant meadow.
Correct. If a table is not a chair...
A love seat.
Correct. What's the affordable way to rent movies?
Netflix. Five movies for $5.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail fast and instantly on your PC in as little as 30 seconds. Netflix. It's that easy. Five movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5 for 5 details.
I can't think of many things that last a lifetime. True love? Maybe. A special memory? Perhaps. A house paint? Absolutely. If it's Duration Exterior from Sherwin-Williams. Not as romantic as true love, maybe, but way more practical. Because Duration Exterior protects in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as you own your home. Buy it now at your Sherwin-Williams store and save $8 a gallon. Duration. A paint that lasts a lifetime? Now that's true love.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. I'm glad you found us, glad you're listening. And may I confess that I'm getting on a plane 48 hours from right now for a long overdue vacation. And my body is here, but my mind is already on vacation. So if you notice a few lapses in the synapses, please cut me some slack. And I've been working feverishly to get everything in place so I can go away. Brad Friedman, proprietor of BradBlog.com and a regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show, will be sitting in for me starting Wednesday this week. He'll do the remainder of this week and all of next week live from Houston, Texas. And why he chose Houston, you'll have to ask him. And then Christine Kraft from KSAC, Progressive Talk Station in Sacramento, will be plugging into the PBC network for the following 2 weeks. And then sometime I'll be back. We're scheduled to return to the air on August 13th. And I hope I won't let you down. On today's program, journalist Chris Hedges returns. He, of course, was once the Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times. He's written a number of great books recently, including American Fascists, The Christian Right, and The War on America. He has co-authored a powerful piece, a book-length article in the newest edition of The Nation magazine about American atrocities in Iraq. And to the extent we can stomach it, we'll hear the details coming up starting in about half an hour. In our second hour today, Lou Cook checks in. He's been covering the Padilla trial. Padilla, Padilla. Apparently, he's now asking to be called Padilla. For a while, he wanted to be called Padilla, trying to mainstream his name a little bit. I don't know. But it's a funky monkey trial, and Lou Cook has been there monitoring it. The prosecution rested on Friday, and there's very little incriminating evidence presented against Mr. Padilla. We'll get the details coming up. And then we're going to talk with somebody who I hold in the highest regard. He is a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Ted Postal. He wrote the critical review of the Patriot missiles that were used during the first Gulf War. And he has been a longtime observer of our missile defense program, a $120 billion boondoggle to date. And over the weekend, Russia carried out its threat to dial back on some treaties because of the threat they see posed by U.S. deployment of a non-working missile defense system in Poland and the Czech Republic. And we'll get Ted Postol's thoughts on that coming up. Plus, lots of your phone calls, too. You can dial in at any moment. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. And my email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Jameson Fosser is one of those senior fellows at Media Matters for America, the think tank in Washington that monitors the media for us. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Hello, Jamo.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah?
Good.
You've been keeping busy there with all the news breaking and the fabulous coverage by our corporate media?
There's always stuff to keep us busy, Peter.
Yeah, sure is. A little bit later, I want to talk about the latest lunatic hateful rant from Michael Savage. And also, I didn't get to watch Tim Russert on Meet the Press yesterday, but you have some interesting commentary up at Media Matters about it. But first, I want to talk about your most recent column, because for some of us, the John Edwards haircut story is really old news. But you did a LexisNexis search, and you found out that this thing has popped up in the last few weeks almost as often as the Howard Dean scream did in the 2 weeks after his shout fest in Iowa.
Well, this should be really old news, Peter. I don't know if you remember when it first surfaced, but it first surfaced because the payments for these haircuts showed up in John Edwards' first quarter FEC reports.
Right.
Well, the second quarter FEC reports just came out. That means that we've had 3 months of this story, and we continue to see it over and over again. The media brings it up again and again and again. Just today, John Edwards was on Good Morning America talking about his poverty tour and got asked a question about the haircut. This is 3 months later, they're still talking about it. They're still talking about it regularly. Anytime you read a New York Times article or a Washington Post article or the Associated Press about John Edwards talking about poverty or health care or anything remotely related to economic issues, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to mention the cost of this haircut that he got. And that's more than a little bit ridiculous at this point. It would have been one thing if it had been mentioned a few times early on. People got kind of a laugh out of it and then moved on. But that isn't the case. They're just bringing it up again and again and again and attempting to portray him as some sort of hypocrite for being rich while caring about the poor.
And as you point out, pardon me, in your column, JMO, this is part of a larger piece where there is massive reporting devoted to trivial details and little foibles or, embarrassing incidents that occur, and they don't devote the same tonnage to the real serious issues that we really need to know about. I'm a bald guy. I don't care about John Edwards, even if he spent $400. He's got great hair, and I'm mildly jealous to the degree that I care about that. But it's infuriating to me. Most recently, he got called in after his wife, appropriately tried to shame Ann Coulter on the Hardball show. And they brought Senator Edwards on the next night. And as he gamely tried to move beyond the Coulter bashing to talk about health care, to talk about ending the war, to talk about how he's different from other Democratic candidates, relentlessly, Matthews brought it back to his contrived controversy generated by his intentional invitation to Ann Coulter.
Right, and what journalists are trying to do here, the ones who are doing this, is they're trying to say that there's something wrong with John Edwards being a rich man who cares about the poor. That's pretty obscene in my mind. We should want people to care about others. We should want people, we should want politicians to not just act out of their own narrow economic self-interest. And yet when you have a very wealthy candidate like Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani or John McCain, who favor tax policies that would benefit them, that would benefit the very wealthy, and nobody else in America, the media doesn't harp on that. You don't see in story after story about Mitt Romney favoring extending tax cuts for the very wealthy. You don't see the article point out that Mitt Romney is very wealthy and he would personally profit from this. But with John Edwards, whenever he talks about poverty or the middle class or health care, there's this constant insinuation that he's somehow hypocritical for being a rich person who cares about the poor. And that's obviously not hypocrisy. That's just not what the word means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to see. And then you think about who these journalists are and who's Chris Matthews and who's Tim Russert. Well, they're very rich people. They're very rich people who are not going to be helped by John Edwards' economic policies, not at least in a very narrow sense.
And, JMO, in your column, you point out an interesting factoid that I was unaware of, and that is NBC's Mick Leshefsky. He's at the Pentagon. He's one of their longtime reporters, and he's one of the people who has worked in the John Edwards $300, $400 haircut reference on many occasions, and yet it's not disclosed that he accepts large speaking fees from groups that invite him to speak.
Well, that's where this really got interesting. As I was writing this column on Friday, I stumbled across an article in the Providence newspaper that from May that mentioned that Mick Leshefsky had given a speech to the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce, and that they to the business expo that was paid for by the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce. The chamber paid Mick Leshefsky $30,000, and in this speech, he called John Edwards a loser over the haircut. So here we have a working journalist, an on-air correspondent for NBC News, and somebody who's been there for a long time and is very respected.
And who earns a base salary well into six figures. I don't know what it is, but it's certainly over 200 grand.
I would imagine so. I have no idea what it is, but I would imagine that you're right there. He's taking, in this case, $30,000 from a business interest that we can assume, because the Chamber of Commerce tends to oppose everything like this, opposes John Edwards' basic economic policies. This business group that opposes John Edwards' policies has paid Jim Leshefsky $30,000 for a speech in which he attacked John Edwards. That's pretty obscene. That's grossly unethical in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet nobody has apparently noticed this before, certainly not made a big deal out of it. And I think NBC has some questions to answer there about why they're letting their reporters run around and take tens of thousands of dollars from the business lobby
mm-hmm.
to criticize candidates who the lobby disagrees with.
Yeah. The other thing that is less a factor now because Greenspan has retired, but Andrea Mitchell has been married to Alan Greenspan, I don't know, for 10 or 15 years. And she often covered issues, not necessarily her husband directly, but certainly covered the administration on various economic and spending issues. And I never once saw them disclose, oh, and by the way, our ace reporter Andrea Mitchell is married to the former Fed chairman.
Well, there was a very troubling incident during the 2004 presidential campaign when John Kerry, I believe it was during one of the debates, had some critical comments about Alan Greenspan. And in NBC's coverage and analysis after the debate, Andrea Mitchell was extremely hard on John Kerry for that line, just really was pretty abusive towards him and attacked him and didn't at any point say, by the way, he was criticizing my husband.
Yeah.
The viewer would have had no idea, nobody else there from NBC News pointed that out. So the viewer just saw this journalist who you know, has been on their television for years and who they may like and respect, telling them that John Kerry was way out of line for this criticism of the Fed chair. Well, she was talking about her husband there.
Yeah.
And the viewer wouldn't have known that.
And you and I know that, but certainly the people at NBC know that the average viewer is not aware of Andrea Mitchell's life and who she's married to. And at critical times, those things should be disclosed. JMO, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment and bash Michael Savage. He needs it. And we'll talk to you about Tim Russert and yesterday's edition of Meet the Press. You got a question or a comment? Call us now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 22 minutes after the hour. We just made our high-tech hookup with New York, and Chris Hedges is going to join us about 10 minutes from now. As I mentioned, a powerful new article about atrocities committed by American soldiers in Iraq. It's in The Nation magazine, and Chris Hedges will detail that for us coming up about 10 minutes away. Jameson J-Mo Foser is with us from Media Matters for America. Got to go to their website. It's mediamatters.org. A lot of powerful information there. And clips of offensive and offending broadcasts on various levels. They cover print journalism, too. But it's an incredible resource, and I give them a lot of credit for helping keep some of the right-wing media on its proverbial toes. And next, JMO, let's talk about Michael Savage. The website isn't available right now to play the clip, but we played it on Friday. And there's a group of students who were fasting at San Jose State University, fasting for immigration rights and also because they hope to join the military as a way of becoming American citizens. And Savage just slimed them and slammed them. And we had the attorney for these students on Friday. And he said that, this won't shock too many people, that the aspersions cast by Mr. Savage were not the least bit factual. And yet, day after day, he gets away with these broadside attacks on those least able to defend themselves, and David Brock, too. So, is there any momentum building regarding Michael Savage, and is he ready for an Imus moment?
Well, he already had his Imus moment to some degree. He had a television show on MSNBC before Don Imus did. What MSNBC thought they were doing hiring Michael Savage, I have no idea, but it didn't last long. He was on for about 2 months before he was fired after telling a caller who he described as a sodomite that he hoped he would get AIDS and die. So he had the Imus moment before Imus did and has been relegated to radio since then. He does still have a pretty big radio perch, though, and there's some question as to what might be next there. It's worth keeping in mind that his show is distributed by ABC Radio, and that's owned by Disney. So whether that's something that they want to be affiliated with, mm-hmm. I don't know. But he certainly does have a pattern of making pretty inflammatory comments. We actually have an item that'll go up, I think, probably later tonight, where he attacks us for drawing attention to those comments that you spoke of about the students, and he said, "Let them fast until they starve to death."
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty unhappy that attention has been drawn to that.
Well, sunshine is the best disinfectant here, and I just hope that the more people find out about his daily hate speech, that, again, I like to underscore that I don't believe in censorship, and what I believe in is responsibility by broadcasters. And just a minor modification, JMO, ABC Radio was sold, and the new owners are Citadel Broadcasting, sorry. And still... they are a company, according to the recent survey by Free Press and the Center for American Progress, that until they bought the ABC stations, not one of their properties broadcast a liberal. Every talk show they air is conservative. And so it's hard to imagine that they're going to be better stewards or keep a tighter leash on Michael Savage than the old folks at ABC Radio did.
Well, and that's, as you know from that study, not all that unusual. The study showed the dominance of conservative talk radio and that there are relatively few progressives out there. So anybody who doesn't like Michael Savage but doesn't necessarily want to urge his company to drop him might consider contacting them and asking them to also broadcast a progressive or two.
And tomorrow at this time, we have scheduled, and we hope it'll happen, but when you schedule a member of Congress, you never know, Maurice Hinchey, who is an outspoken member of Congress from New York State and a Democrat, is proposing some sort of a fairness doctrine. We'll let him detail that for us on the program here tomorrow. JMO, before we go, I wanted to just touch on Tim Russert, because I don't watch the Sunday shows, as you know, but according to Media Matters, he came on yesterday and really kind of rehashed the Valerie Plame Scooter Libby case and added in some of the comments that were made by the president, who finally broke his silence on the issue this past week. But Media Matters points out that Russert didn't tell the whole story.
Well, the big problem with Russert, what Russert did was he described the White House as having pledged during the investigation to fire anybody who had broken the law in relation to this leak. And that allowed his guest, Bob Novak, to point out that Karl Rove didn't break the law because he wasn't, we know he didn't break the law because he wasn't charged with anything. Of course, that doesn't mean that he didn't break the law, but that's sort of beside the point. The real point here is that what the White House actually pledged and what President Bush actually pledged was that they would fire anybody who was involved in the leak. And we know that Karl Rove was involved in the leak. We know that he leaked Valerie Plame's identity. We know that Scooter Libby was involved. We know that Richard Armitage was involved. Libby, of course, is gone. Karl Rove still has his job, still has his security clearance, despite disclosing classified information. So Russert, by being very imprecise in that wording, really downplayed the extent to which, actually whitewashed the extent to which President Bush has not followed through on his pledge to fire anybody who was involved in this. He promised that he would. Karl Rove still has his job. That's a promise that George Bush broke. But Tim Russert muddied this up and misstated it, so his viewers didn't know that.
And Bob Novak was right there and didn't straighten him out. Thank you, JMO.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Good to talk to you. Jameson Fosser from Media Matters for America. Chris Hedges will join us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah. What is it good?
me.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. War is never pretty. But war does not have to be a blank check for atrocities committed by occupying powers. Most Americans are aware of the incidents that have occurred in Iraqi towns like Haditha, where 24 Iraqis, including 15 women and children, were killed in 05. Ramadi, where a man was killed by two members of the Pennsylvania National Guard, and they made it look like he was an insurgent. That was in 06. Hamdaniya, April of 06. Soldiers shoot an Iraqi man, place a shovel and rifle next to his body to make it appear he was an insurgent trying to plant a roadside bomb. Mahmoudia, March 2006. Four Iraqis, including a woman who may have been raped and a young girl, were killed by soldiers manning a nearby checkpoint who went into the home and appeared to have gone crazy. And these are the stories that have produced courts-martial investigations and some reporting here in the United States. The Bush administration and the Pentagon flacksters probably want us to believe that that's the beginning and the end of it. But Chris Hedges knows more. And Chris has been on our program before. He spent 20 years just about as foreign correspondent in Central America, Middle East, Africa, and the Balkans. He was the Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times. And we spoke to him recently about his book called American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. We'll touch on that a little bit later this hour. Chris Hedges, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And you and your colleague at The Nation, Leila Al-Aryan, have compiled a shocking list of anecdotes. Tell us a little bit about how you collected these stories and at what point American soldiers started to share this more freely with reporters like you.
Well, we spent the last 7 months interviewing 50 combat veterans who had come back from Iraq, many of whom had served multiple tours in Iraq. And the goal was to describe the patterns of the conflict rather than some of the incidents that you cited. Those have gotten press. But what it's like day-to-day on the ground for Iraqi civilians. And these patterns, which were exposed in this 15,000-word piece in the current issue of The Nation, are deeply disturbing. All of these veterans talked about a routine killing of civilians. We focused on sort of snapshots of the war that would include how convoys are run, how checkpoints are set up, detentions, the suppressing fire that is laid down after an IED, improvised explosive device, goes off or a convoy is attacked. And that added up to a really chilling portrait of the indiscriminate use of force against unarmed Iraqis. And this is, at least according to these veterans, all of whom spoke on the record, all of these interviews were taped, we have thousands of pages of transcripts, is now a daily occurrence in Iraq.
Here's one anecdote. Specialist Michael Harmon, age 24, from Brooklyn, a medic. He says, I'll tell you the point where I really turned. I go out to the scene, and there was this little, pudgy little two-year-old child with acute little pudgy legs. And I look, and she has a bullet through her leg. An IED went off. The gun-happy soldiers just started shooting anywhere, and the baby got hit. And this baby looked at me, wasn't crying, wasn't anything. It just looked at me like, well, I know she couldn't speak. It might sound crazy. But she was like asking me why. You know, why do I have a bullet in my leg? I was just like, this is it. This is ridiculous. That's a very powerful comment.
Well, I think most of these veterans who've come back are appalled by what they've witnessed and what they've taken part in. As you mentioned earlier, I've covered many conflicts, and one sees physical courage on a battlefield. One very rarely sees moral courage. What these veterans took moral courage. because it's in some cases not only jeopardizing their career for those who still remain within the military, but speaking out like this, challenging this kind of myth of war as a noble enterprise and that notion of everyone over there being heroes. It can also ostracize them from their friends and from the military community that they've been a part of. But most of these veterans have become deeply traumatized. Many, of course, are on second or third tours or have done two or three tours in Iraq. And I think there's a kind of rage, a kind of outrage at what's been done to them, what they've been forced to do, and the complicity on the part of the press that has really failed to present, in their eyes, an accurate and detailed portrait of what the war is really like.
Now, Chris, you just described some of those dynamics, some of those pressures, and I certainly have compassion for the troops and what they're going through. And it's a lose-lose-lose situation where they feel that they are targets almost every moment that they're out of the barracks or outside of protected areas. In your experience, because you have covered so many different conflicts, is this something that is endemic to an occupation per se? Or is this going beyond that to suggest that we have American forces who are out of control?
Well, there are different types of wars. I covered the wars in El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala. Those were, in essence, civil wars. They were fought by opposing armed groups of the same nationality. I covered the first Gulf War. That was a war that took place largely in the desert, if we exclude the very heavy bombing of southern Iraq, which did inflict civilian casualties, significant civilian casualties. But the actual clash of armored units was done largely in a depopulated area. And then there are wars such as the one in Iraq that are essentially colonial occupations, very similar to what happened in Vietnam, very similar to the French experience in the War of Liberation in Algeria, very similar to what the IDF does in the occupation of the West Bank and with their incursions in Gaza. So this fits the parameters of an insurgency or of a foreign occupation, and these wars are always the bloodiest because you're fighting an elusive enemy, an enemy that you can't see and can't identify. Situation has become so untenable and so dangerous that every time these soldiers and Marines leave the perimeters of their compounds, they are in a tremendous amount of danger, and we don't want to minimize that danger. And many of the tactics that they use, while they involve indiscriminate killing of civilians, are designed to get them back inside their perimeters safely. So that, we often heard veterans say, well, it's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6, meaning it's better to be judged by a jury of 12 than carried by 6
pallbearers.
So when an IED goes off, they will lay down in densely populated areas, withering, suppressing fire from belt-fed machine guns such as these SAWs, which are light machine guns, from 50 calibers, from automatic grenade launchers, and they very rarely go back and investigate the damage that has been done. When there is any kind of an investigation or the potential for an investigation, many of the veterans we interviewed talked about carrying what they call throwaways, and these are old AK-47s that they'll put down next to the body of civilians who have been killed, or sometimes a shovel, which would have been, they would have claimed that these civilian was using it to dig a hole to plant an IED to justify the killings that have taken place. Checkpoints, for instance, are another flashpoint where hundreds, probably thousands, of Iraqi civilians have been killed. We know from a report in McClatchy newspapers a few days ago that they wrote a story that Pentagon officials say over 450 civilians were killed just last year alone at checkpoints. They don't like convoys. There are another sort of frightening phenomena within Iraq. Every time these convoys leave the compound, they travel at speeds of 50 to 60 miles an hour through densely populated areas. They can't stop. Stopping is dangerous, not only because they become vulnerable to attack, but because these convoys are watched, so that if they get into a bottleneck three or four times on a road, soldiers and Marines said, it's inevitable almost that the next time they come to that choke point, an IED will have been planted there. So therefore, these convoys keep moving at all costs, and that means jumping meridians, driving down the wrong side of the street, smashing into civilian vehicles to get them out of the way, running over civilians, that's a very frequent occurrence, and not stopping, including children. So all of this is combined, you know, the suppressing fire, the checkpoints, the raids to alienate large numbers of Iraqis and essentially drive them into the hands of the insurgents. Now, these tactics are done with a very short-term objective, and that is to ensure the survival of the members of the unit. And they're not wrong. But unfortunately, these tactics also fuel the very insurgency that these occupation forces are trying to defeat.
Chris Hedges is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about a powerful new book-length article that's in the forthcoming issue, July 30th, on the front of The Nation magazine. You can read this right now at thenation.com, and I also found it at Robert Scheer's website, truthdig.com. And it really is quite sobering, even if you are prepared for it. And, Chris, what shocked you the most of the anecdotes that you collected?
Well, I can't say as I was terribly shocked by much, having covered things like the death squads in El Salvador, who when I were there were killing between 800 and 1,000 people a month, or having covered the genocide carried out by the Bosnian Serbs. I think it only confirmed what my suspicions were, that this war has descended into a state where the occupation forces are committing far more acts of murder than they are of killing. And by that I mean, when I use the word killing, I'm talking about taking the life of someone who has the capacity to do you harm, murder being taking the life of somebody who does not have the capacity to harm you. And I think that this war, and soldiers and Marines can go through an entire year in Iraq and not only have no contact with Iraqis other than perhaps a translator who's with the unit, but oftentimes never even see the enemy that is carrying out the attacks against them. So, you know, that kind of a situation, which is very common to insurgencies, creates what the psychiatrist Robert J. Lifton calls atrocity-producing situations. By that he means that rage and frustration makes it very easy to suddenly view all Iraqis, armed or unarmed, as hostile and as legitimate targets, especially after a unit has suffered severe casualties or deaths. They oftentimes take out a kind of vengeance or retribution against the targets they can find, and these targets are often not only unarmed but had nothing to do with the attack in which this unit suffered.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Chris Hedges. If you have a question or a comment, you can bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we continue, I want to ask Chris to tell us more about these tragic stories and the extent to which they are tolerated, condoned, or actively approved by upper management, the military brass, or maybe even at the Pentagon. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join us, more in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Chris Hedges, who has co-authored this powerful new story for The Nation. Read it in the July 30th edition. Here's another excerpt, and it's quoting Specialist Philip Crystal, age 23, of Reno, Nevada. So we get started on this day, this one in particular. It starts with the PSYOPs vehicles out there, you know, with the big speakers playing a message in Arabic or Farsi or Kurdish or whatever they happen to be saying. Basically, put your weapons, if you have them, next to the front door in your house. Please come outside, blah, 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 blah. And we had Apaches flying over for security if they're needed. And it's also a good show of force. And we're running around, and we'd done a few houses by this point, and I was with my platoon leader, my squad leader, and maybe a couple other people. And we're approaching this one house in this farming area. They're like built up in a little courtyard, so they have like the main house common area, they have like a kitchen, and they have a storage shed type deal. And we're approaching, and they had a family dog, and it was barking ferociously because it's doing its job. And my squad leader, just out of nowhere, just shoots it. And he didn't, the MF, he shot it. And he went in the jaw and exited out. So I see this dog. I'm a huge animal lover. I love animals. And this dog has, like, these eyes on it, and he's running around spraying blood all over the place. And, like, you know, what the hell's going on? The family's sitting right there with three little children and a mom and a dad, horrified. And I'm at a loss for words, and so I yell at him. I'm like, what the F are you doing? And so the dog's yelping. It's crying out without a jaw. And I'm looking at the family, and they're just, you know, dead scared. So I told him, I was like, effing shoot it, you know? At least kill it, because that can't be fixed. And I actually get tears from just saying this right now, but I had tears then, too. And I'm looking at the kids, and they're so scared. And so I got the interpreter over with me, and, you know, I get my wallet out, and I gave him $20, because that's what I had. And, you know, I had him give it to them, and I told them that I'm sorry that this a-hole did that. Was a report ever filed about it, he asked? Was anything ever done? Any punishment ever dished out? No, absolutely not. In his final quote, he said such incidents were very common. So, Chris Hedges, as we hear this, It reminds us of Abu Ghraib, and it reminds us of the serious questions that remain about the extent to which this is authorized or at least tolerated by military brass. What is your sense? Who sets the tone? And given that this specialist just told us that there's no report, no enforcement, is this just intentionally turning a blind eye? Or these atrocities occur without the knowledge and consent of upper military brass?
Well, we know that, you know, from interviews that we carried out, and there's a story as well in the piece about a briefing, a brutal briefing of a family being killed at a checkpoint, and the colonel responding that, you know, these Hajis, which has become a derogatory term to refer to Iraqis, need to learn how to drive, that they're aware of it and don't care. One of the things that we discovered in doing all of these interviews was that the senior leadership of the military very rarely goes out. And there's a great deal of resentment on the part of the troops who are often sent out and into reckless and even futile missions in this quest on the part of battalion commanders and others to get combat infantry badges. And there's a wonderful little quote in there by Camilo Mejia, who said that, you know, it was the only time that these officers led from the front is when they brought in the Iraqi tailors to sew these badges onto their uniforms. Disconnect between the senior military leadership, especially colonels and up, who don't get out, and pushing these, the enlisted out the door to carry out these kinds of atrocities, or acts where there's no check, has created a gulf between the senior command and those who are actually prosecuting the war. But I think the general consensus was that the senior leadership didn't care. That there was a kind of shared hostility within the occupation forces now to all Iraqis.
People often talk about winning hearts and minds, and I'm just looking here at another anecdote regarding a cordon and search operation. These are house-to-house assaults, is what they are. And while you can understand that they're attempting to secure a certain area, they're looking for people who are hiding out, they're looking for arms caches, they're looking for bomb factories, all that is understandable. But here's a description. You go up the stairs, you grab the man of the house, you rip him out of bed in front of his wife, you put him up against the wall. Then you go into a room and tear the room to shreds, and you make sure there's no weapons or anything that they can use to attack us. You get the interpreter, you get the man of the home, and you have him at gunpoint. You'll ask him to ask, do you have any weapons? Do you have any anti-U.S. propaganda? Anything at all. Normally they'll say no, because that's normally the truth. So what you'll do is take his sofa cushions and you'll dump them. If he has a couch, you turn it upside down. You go to the fridge, if he has a fridge, and you throw everything on the floor. You'll take his drawers and you'll dump them. You'll open up his closet and you'll throw all the clothes on the floor and basically leave his house looking like a hurricane just hit it. And then you move on to the next house and do 100 a night. Now, this cannot be winning hearts and minds, and it doesn't appear to be that effective at even providing basic security for American forces.
No. I mean, the troops at this point are just lashing out in a kind of blind fury, and one of the frustrations among those who carried out raids was how poor the intelligence was. Not only did they very rarely find anything of consequence, but they were, thrust into to cordon off and carry out searches in entire communities on whims, on because of personal vendettas, because of rumors. We focused on sort of a few snapshots of the war to hopefully give readers a sense of how these things put together were deeply counterproductive to winning any kind of support among Iraqis, and I think at this point quite clearly the way the war is being prosecuted is one that is only exacerbating and fueling the very insurgency itself. Whether it's the humiliation of Iraqis or the killing of Iraqis, the You know, at this point, the occupation forces speak in only one language, and that's one of force. And they have become, along with the Shiite and Sunni militias and, you know, whatever sort of strange, bizarre factions of Al-Qaeda or Islamist militants have wandered into Iraq, one of the sources of terror for poor Iraqis.
This powerful article, as we mentioned, is at thenation.com. It is featured in the July 30th paper print edition of The Nation, and I also found it at truthdig.com. Chris Hedges is with us. We're going to take a break, and when we return after the top of the hour news, I want to talk a little bit about Israel and Palestine, and also talk a little bit more about American Fascists. That's Chris Hedges' latest book, subtitled The Christian Right and the War on America. That's all straight ahead. Your calls and comments welcome to over the next half hour. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. You can find our website at peterbcollins.com with archives and a link to the live stream every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, here on the Left Coast.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Two-thirds of $1 billion for clergy sex abuse.
Tears from victims as the Los Angeles Archdiocese agrees to a record settlement.
The pain is still inside of me.
I'm Steve Futterman.
A new push in the Middle East.
In the face of terror and cynicism and anger, we stand on the side of peace in the Holy Land.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It is the largest settlement by far. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles will pay $660 million to settle the claims of more than 500 people who say they were molested by priests, nuns, and other church workers.
It was a day of high drama and remarkable emotion both inside and outside the courthouse. In court, a judge formally approved the record settlement. It was outside the courthouse, though, where the raw emotion broke through.
It's nothing compared to what I've suffered. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to keep suffering forever.
Victim after victim described their pain.
I had gone through 4 marriages, 19 jobs.
And described their suffering.
I tried to commit suicide many times. Many times over this.
The chief attorney for the victims, Ray Boucher, said the settlement should clear up any doubts about what took place and who's at fault.
It was the fault of despicable, evil men that did despicable and evil things to them.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The settlement was crafted in Rome. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes has that.
Cardinal Roger Mahoney personally went to the Vatican twice over the course of the last few weeks to hammer out this settlement. And again in court, the lawyer said how difficult it was to come to this agreement. And they made mention of those trips by Cardinal Mahoney as being very important in coming to this agreement.
Mahoney says the money will come from investments, the sale of church buildings, and from loans. Now this.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy 4 Michelin or Fiat Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 a.m.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Grainger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Bush administration launches a new Middle East peace initiative. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
Calling this a moment of choice in the Middle East, President Bush is trying to revive the peace process there by convening an international conference in the fall.
The key participants in this meeting will be the Israelis, the Palestinians, and their neighbors in the region.
At the same time, Mr. Bush announced $270 million in U.S. aid to bolster the government of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who lost control of the Gaza Strip to Hamas, which the U.S. regards as a terrorist group and rules out as a partner for peace. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
The surge in Iraq might not be over. Chairman Peter Pace says the Joint Chiefs of Staff are considering a range of options for a report to President Bush in September, and one of them might be a further troop buildup. On Capitol Hill, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid threatens to pull an all-nighter to break a filibuster of a plan to withdraw all combat troops by next spring.
While some Senate Republicans might not want to change course in Iraq, it doesn't give them the right to block an up or down vote on this most crucial amendment.
Colorado Republican Wayne Allard says he'll vote against any arbitrary deadlines.
Our best and brightest military minds have worked to construct this new strategy, and we need to see it through.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon warned today against an abrupt pullout. He said it might lead to further deterioration of the situation in Iraq. When Senator David Vitter's phone number turned up in the records of a Washington escort service, he acknowledged a very serious sin and went into seclusion with his family. Late today, the Louisiana Republican emerged to say he's going back to work, his wife Wendy at his side.
When David and I dealt with this privately years ago, I forgave David. I made the decision to love him and to recommit to our marriage.
They have four children. She pleaded with the news media to stop following them around. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
You say the traffic is killing you?
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, veteran Chicago reporter Lou Cook will join us. He's been covering the trial in Miami of would-be terrorist Jose Padilla. The government rested its case on Friday. Not a lot to rest on there. Lou Cook will detail that for us in about a half an hour. And next hour, Ted Postal, nuclear physicist from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, will join us.
Ready, steady, go!
He is an expert on the phony video game that we call missile defense, or Star Wars. Over the weekend, Russia has announced it's pulling out of some treaties in reaction to our determination to deploy a bogus missile defense system on the soil of the Czech Republic and Poland. We continue now with Chris Hedges. As we mentioned, he spent about 20 years at the New York Times as a foreign correspondent, Central America, the Middle East, Africa, the Balkans. And we'll talk about his newest book coming up shortly here. That one is called American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. First, I wanted to get your take on the current situation there between Israel and Palestine with the breakdown between Hamas and Fatah. And we have a very curious situation here because the Abbas government is operating pretty much in the West Bank and the Hamas government in Gaza, if I've got that correct. And it's hard to see how any kind of reconciliation would be forthcoming. And to me, Chris, that's compounded by the moves by the U.S. and Israel to support the Abbas government, the Fatah government, because by throwing money at them and international approval, it appears that that gives them the negative street cred that drives Hamas and keeps it a vital, vibrant force. Do I have a good observation there, or would you disagree?
No, I would agree, although I would also add that the problem with Fatah is that they... You know, they're their own worst enemies. They're so corrupt, and you know, being in Gaza, the first thing they did when Arafat came back was, of the senior Fatah officials, was sort of build themselves nice villas on the seaside and import duty free Mercedes. So Fatah is really responsible for its own demise. I think one of the real tragedy of this is that. There was heavy pressure on the Palestinians to hold open and free and fair elections, which they did. Hamas was elected. This displeased the Bush administration and, of course, Israel. And so they sought to isolate Hamas from the government to bolster Fatah. And essentially what you've seen now is a coup d'etat against an elected government. Now, however distasteful we may find Hamas, and I find them quite distasteful, we have to recognize that they do represent a legitimate voice within the Palestinian community, one that I think that if under a more enlightened policy would not be there. I mean, when I first went to Gaza in 1988, Fatah had total support. Hamas was a very minor, irrelevant party. As a matter of fact, when the Israelis would come in and do sweeps, they would usually leave the Hamas people alone because they saw them as a kind of divisive wedge against Fatah's complete domination of political and military control. But as the desperation has grown in Gaza, I mean, Gaza really has reached the point of a humanitarian crisis. 1 million Palestinians virtually trapped inside a walled prison. I think the last figure was 30% of the children are malnourished. Most people, 70% or some figure like that, living on handouts from the international community. You know, like all people who are pushed into corners of desperation and hopelessness, they have turned to radical, frightening groups for a solution, and that has been Hamas. So I really see Hamas as a product of a very misguided and short-sighted American and Israeli policy.
And Chris Hedges, I find this bizarre in some respects, but in the past week, Mahmoud Abbas had to reconstitute his cabinet. They all stepped down, and then they were all reappointed. And this was to meet a kind of a parliamentary technicality. And as I understand it, as long as Hamas cannot provide enough members of the parliament to meet a quorum, Abbas will remain in power with his hand-picked, unelected cabinet. And the fine print in the article I was reading said, well, one of the reasons why they can't get a quorum is that Israel has so many of the Hamas parliament members locked up in Israeli jails. And again, without taking sides here in the deepest way, I just look at this and I say, well, Israel is perpetuating Hamas by the moves that it is making. And by its perceived tilt to the Abbas government, it you know, reignites, reinvigorates, and recruits new members for Hamas on almost a daily basis.
I would agree. I mean, I think that's correct. And, you know, the Fatah government, or the Abbas government, has very little legitimacy even without this. It's certainly going to have even less if it looks, as it does, like a client regime of Israel and the United States. So, yeah, you have a very disturbing situation. And the only way to blunt the movement of Hamas is to begin a very different tact in the Middle East and in terms of negotiations. And unfortunately, both the Bush administration and Olmert's government in Jerusalem have decided that they're just going to grind the heel of their boot even more forcefully down on the Palestinians. And that is essentially dumping fuel all over the conflict.
Mm-hmm. Chris Hedges is with us. He joins us from the Nation's radio studio in New York. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. So if you have a question or comment, there's room for your call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I took a look before the interview today, Chris, at a couple of your recent pieces, and there's a great index of your recent articles at truthdig.com, if you just enter Chris Hedges in the search window. And I wanted to put two of them together. You noted that in June, Israel observed the 40th anniversary of its occupation of and control of Gaza and the West Bank. And on July 2nd, I suppose in honor of our Independence Day, you published a lengthy piece called A Declaration of Independence from Israel. And you're a careful and deliberate man, and you know where the third rail is on a lot of these issues. But you've been unstinting in your criticism of the Bush administration's obvious tilt toward Israel in this conflict.
Yes, because I don't think it's in Israel's interest. I certainly think, from a moral perspective, what is being done to the Palestinians is unconscionable. But as someone who lived in the Middle East for 7 years, two of those years in Israel, I think that this kind of a policy, which is supported by AIPAC and the Israeli lobby, which is, it doesn't represent Israel anymore, if it ever did. It represents the hard right of Israeli politics, Likud and its current incarnation in Kadima. Having a wider perspective, having lived in the Arab world, having covered the Oslo Agreement, the peace agreement that brought Arafat back to Gaza and gave them limited control of Gaza and the West Bank, I saw a glimmer of hope, and that hope was an integration of the Palestinians into the Israeli economy, giving them a stake in Israel itself. You know, after the Oslo Agreement, you could stand on the streets of Fez in Morocco or Amman in Jordan and hear Hebrew. I mean, this was, for those of us who came out of the old Middle East, unthinkable and exciting. And then, of course, losing Yitzhak Rabin essentially put an end to this process, and we retrenched and lost all of that. And I think that the road that both the Bush administration and the Kadima government in Israel are headed down is one that will ensure Israel's ultimate self-annihilation. So while I'm certainly often attacked by the Israeli lobby, I don't consider myself in any way anti-Israel, quite the opposite. And if you live in Israel, there are far wider variety of opinion and voices. Anything that I write would not be considered particularly controversial on the pages of Aretz, which is actually does probably the best coverage of the Palestinians of any paper, and certainly far better than any American paper. So, I feel that the tyranny that's imposed by the Israeli lobby has not been helpful either to us as a country in terms of letting us look at the options that are out there and how to deal with this situation, but also ultimately for Israel itself.
And, Chris, one of my listeners faxed me an invitation that came to them recently from AIPAC, which, of course, is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And they are recruiting people to attend a community caucus with Congressman Mike Thompson. He's a Blue Dog Democrat who represents Eureka and the north part of California. Let me just read part of this letter to you. With Iran continuing to defy the international community's demands to suspend its nuclear activities, President Ahmadinejad's inflammatory and genocidal rhetoric about destroying the Jewish state, and Iran supporting world terrorism by supplying weapons, training, and funds to groups like Hezbollah and Hamas, it is imperative that we, the pro-Israel community, community communicate these concerns to our members of Congress. And it goes on to say that it's imperative that we meet this year with the congressman to ask him for his future support, thank him for his past support, and discuss the changing nature of the Middle East and America's role in that region. Now, I don't really have a problem with their desire to lobby this particular congressman. But I do have a problem that it appears the Democrats pulled the language from the failed defense supplemental for Iraq and Afghanistan back in April under direct pressure from AIPAC. What's your comment?
Yeah, AIPAC has really poisoned the American political system, and they've done it through money. There's no check now on Israeli aid, which, you know, Israel has been given more than $140 billion in direct U.S. economic and military assistance. It gets about $3 billion a year in direct assistance. That's roughly one-fifth of the U.S. foreign aid budget. And without any of the normal stipulations, you know, although most foreign aid packages require military purchases have to be made in the United States, Israel is allowed to use about 25% of that money to subsidize its own very profitable defense industry. It's exempt, unlike any other nation, from accounting for how it spends the aid money.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue with Chris Hedges. And if you'd like to join us, I've got room for a call or two at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll get an update on the Padilla trial from Miami in about 10 minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
it is time for a little traffic. Let's get to it. Let's talk about a problem right now in Saratoga. Quito Road at Bucknell. Injury crash being reported there. And emergency crews on scene at this point. If you're traveling in Salinas, so South 101 before John Street, it's a car in the center divide, another on the shoulder. In Marina, we have a problem. It's southbound 1 before Del Monte. And apparently, this is a situation. Let's see. It's a large blue tarp in the lanes being reported there. Aptos, Soquel Drive at Highway 1, a two-vehicle crash. It is off to the right-hand shoulder. And this report is brought to you by AccountTabs. AccountTabs, to access their extensive local network of highly skilled finance and accounting professionals, contact one of their 13 skilled Bay Area folks today. Visit them at AccountTabs.com. Traffic KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour, and my guest is journalist Chris Hedges. Chris Hedges has a powerful new book out called American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. And it's out in hardcover. He was here maybe 6 weeks ago in our secret studio for a live interview. I really enjoyed that. And, Chris, what kind of reaction have you been getting to the book that you're proud of and that you recoil from?
Well, I think the most frustrating thing is that many of the reviewers, well, interestingly, not going after me for using the word fascist, tended to downplay the problem. I think the general consensus among certainly the critical reviews was that we don't have that much to worry about. Our democracy is strong enough to withstand this threat. And I think that that kind of complacency is frightening, and that is what has allowed this movement to gain such currency and such reach, both within the administration and within tens of millions of homes where people get all of their information filtered through this very frightening ideological prism. So those sort of comforting words that, well, yes, you know, they're bad people, but don't worry, we don't have to take them seriously, that disturbed me. I mean, the reaction from James Dobson and the people within the movement was what you would expect. What they do is go after you as essentially being anti-Christian, although I grew up in the church and graduated from seminary. That's irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
So it's an attempt to delegitimize my own tradition, my own religious tradition, to claim that I'm part of a movement of secular humanists out to destroy the Christian faith and thwart the Christian America that the Founding Fathers wanted to inflict upon all of us.
And, you know, those guys, and it is mostly guys, never respond in a Christ-like manner and just say, turn the other cheek.
Well, I don't look at this movement as a religious movement, and I think I said that earlier on your last time I was with you. It's a political movement. It's a mass movement that is seeking political power, and one that has very pronounced totalitarian tendencies. I didn't use the word fascist lightly. It is not about spreading the message of the gospel or the ethics of Christianity. I mean, they talk about acculturating America with Christianity. It's the reverse. They've acculturated the Christian religion with the worst aspects of American imperialism and American capitalism. I mean, that's where you get the gospel of prosperity. That's where you get this notion that somehow Jesus wants us to obliterate huge sections of the Middle East because these people are infidels. So you know, this drive to attain political power, this embrace of a ruthless and pitiless economic system, coupled with American militarism, is a complete anathema to the Christian Gospels. I mean, Jesus was clearly a pacifist. I'm not a pacifist, but I don't know how you can read the four Gospels and not come away with that understanding. So, and it's not a movement we've ever seen in the past. I mean, they're not traditional evangelicals. They're not traditional fundamentalists. This is about the assumption of political power, and they've gone a long way towards getting it. If we go back and look at where they were 30 years ago, they were on the margins of American society. They're now within the Supreme Court. They're in the House of Representatives. They're in the Congress, and they're in the White House.
And to your point that reviewers don't quite grasp the severity of the trend toward fascism, I'm curious, you know, it's almost a week ago that Richard Carmona testified about how, as Surgeon General, he was silenced, not allowed to talk about approaches to contraception other than abstinence, not allowed to talk about stem cell research. And these are not trivial matters. And when, for political and ideological reasons, somebody in his position is silenced, people die. Real life impacts, life and death consequences accrue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a very callous and cruel movement. It talks, for instance, about family. This is one of the great destroyers of families. These Christian religious radicals have separated families into the saved and the unsaved. And if you're unsaved, you are not welcome within their community, because once you are quote-unquote saved, you must submit to the authority of God, which is really the authority of these mega preachers who run these mega churches.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chris. A pleasure to talk with you, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Peter.
The new book is American Fascists. Pick it up and read it. I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up, Lou Cook.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them to see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Statistics show that as many as 70% of heart patients who start exercise programs for rehabilitation drop out. But Dr. Romualdo Ballardinelli and his colleagues at the Lancisi Heart Institute in Lacona, Italy, have found that there is something that they find just as effective as cardio exercise in the gym and a lot more fun. And that is the waltz. 1-2-3, 1-2-3, three-quarter time. Causes the mood and the heart rate to climb. Effective as most any treadmill or bike, and it's something more people are likely to like. More after this for Office Depot. Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including their own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king, bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. As an exercise program, some find that the waltz, when using machines, has some problems and faults. On a bike or a treadmill, the waltz, it is true, is hard because we don't have three legs but two. But waltzing with somebody else on the dance floor, you can move with the music and come back for more. And researchers report that the three-quarter time move helps the oxygen intake to greatly improve. It's really aerobic. The music is grand, as the arteries better dilate
and expand. And you'll feel a lot better, despite any faults, doing the cardiopulmonary waltz. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know, it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge!
Yeah, did you hear Court TV is changing its name? I think the new name is Guilty as Charged.
Stop beating that bird. Cause here comes the judge. Don't nobody budge. Cause here comes the judge. Judge Shorty is presiding today. And he don't take no stuff from nobody. No kind of way.
And if Fox News had a court TV channel, they'd just call it boiled or fried.
You gon' see if you don't eat my plea. I'm here to tell you.
And then there's Nancy Grace, who deserves not a satellite channel, but a satellite of her own. I'd like to put her into orbit and keep her there. Ah, but there are some great courtroom reporters, and Lou Cook has been covering the trial of Jose Padilla in Miami for FireDogLake.com. Lou, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much.
How you holding up?
Okay, I'm kind of amazed that at the paucity of evidence that the government dispensed. Now, Lou,
how much evidence do you need to convict a guy that John Ashcroft has already thoroughly persuaded us is guilty of something?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's Ashcroft, and then later it was the Assistant Deputy Attorney General James Comey, who said he was guilty of blowing up high-rises. And after that, there was Gonzalez, who said he was guilty of conspiracy to murder, kidnap, and maim.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, by all accounts, he's supposed to be guilty.
Right.
But the evidence seems pretty thin, very thin, so thin that it's kind of, when you think that probably the government has spent $25 million in prosecuting this poor Jim Oak. It's pretty thin.
Now, don't we have evidence that he played bingo with Osama in a cave in Afghanistan?
They should only be so lucky. What happens is they had 300,000 wiretaps. Okay, you got that? That's a pretty good number.
That is.
Out of that number, they were able to generate exactly 7 phone calls that had Padilla's a voice on it.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was innocuous conversations about zucchini and going to visit Busch Gardens. I'm sure he wasn't talking about the president's gardens.
Yeah.
But 300,000 wiretaps, and you come up with 7 calls with Padilla's voice and no incriminating conversation whatsoever.
Well, that justifies the whole NSA program right there. 300,000 calls that they had to cull through to get seven, and you know, maybe the trial revealed how they were able to isolate Jose Padilla's voice. Because in some of the transcripts that I've seen, Luke Cook, he's basically just grunting.
Okay. He's saying to somebody else, well, I don't want to get into that. I mean, it's just absurd. I mean, if the conversation, I mean, remember, I told you what the indictment said. It said to murder, kidnap, and maim. And there ain't no language, no conversation that has any hint or clue or event that relates to that. They say he was talking in code. What's the code? Okay, he wanted to spend some money on zucchini. Well, what is zucchini supposed to mean? Tanks? What? Knives? Guns? What?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no relationship. They have no idea. Mm-hmm. No clue.
So, Luke Cook, as I understand it, the government rested, or at least ended its case against Padilla and the two co-defendants on Friday.
Yes.
And you are summarizing this as very thin. What was the thickest of the thin evidence that they presented?
Well, the thickest thing was that when he was arrested at O'Hare Airport in 2002, the FBI agent who arrested him said that he was evasive in his questioning. Now, I mean, I know that must come as a shock that somebody would be evasive. At least he didn't lie. I mean, so he didn't pull a ribby. He didn't lie under.
Go ahead.
So, you know, the idea that somebody would be a little evasive, well, can I see your warrant? And if you want to question me, where's my lawyer? Padilla's been without a lawyer. For 4.5 years he was without a lawyer.
So
and
he
locked up in a brig where he was tortured for 3.5 years.
So he failed to participate in his incrimination.
Yeah, he forgot he had a Fifth Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he remembered he had a right and was being evasive.
And this is the point where I think it's good to remind our listeners that Jose Padilla is a citizen not of Yemen, not of Saudi Arabia. He's a citizen of the United States of America, and he's a guy with a gang record. I'm not pretending that he is pristine or, you know, about to be canonized. All I'm saying is that he is entitled to rights that have been routinely denied to him as an American citizen.
It's not only his rights, but he's been tortured. Now, for 3.5 years, he has basically been, his eyes have been masked. His ears have been muffled. He's been sound and sight deprived. I mean, all this has been going on in order to get a confession out of him. And they don't have a confession. Or at least they don't have a confession that they can admit in court without showing the torture.
But Lou, you forget he took evasion training at that Al-Qaeda camp that they tied him to.
Yeah. See, now, even that's a little strange. They have a document that allegedly he signed, and it has his fingerprints on the cover of the document and the backside of the document. Except, remember those 3.5 years he spent in prison. Somebody could say, hold out your hand, you know, and he's got his eyes masked, and he's handed this document. He grabs it, and they say, okay, we'll take it back now. So nobody could show that document was Padilla's. The other thing that is so surprising is that the document was discovered by a CIA agent. Okay? Now, here's the story he tells in court. A stranger comes up to him in Afghanistan with a truckload of documents. Now, this is and he dumps them on the CIA agent. Now, the CIA agent cannot talk or read any of the language of Afghanistan or Pakistan. Can't read them all. But somehow, miracle of miracles, he's able to pluck out Jose Padilla's application form. Isn't that, wonders to be, behold. It's just amazing how good those investigators are.
Now, Lou Cook, I'm just curious because I mentioned this to my able producer, Katrina, a little bit earlier, and she cracked up laughing. She said, there's a form you fill out when you go to Al-Qaeda training camp, and those forms somehow survived, and some guy just happened to find a CIA guy and say, well, here's a whole stack of documents of people who signed up for the Al-Qaeda training camp.
It wasn't even... Your guy couldn't even talk to the CIA agent. He just dumped the documents on him. So it wasn't even, here's some Al-Qaeda application. He just kind of made his way through a truckload of documents, and lo and behold, like the Tooth Fairy, his application form is there. But even if he signed the application form, he didn't do anything. There isn't one untoward step, one illegal step he took, either outside the United States, and he was outside the United States after he had converted to Islam, and he isn't one step he took. Hell, he came back and he was arrested on the plane where they had FBI agents accompanying him from Switzerland. They grabbed him at O'Hare. So, I mean, he didn't have time to blow his nose.
Mm-hmm. Did he attempt to light his shoes on fire?
No, thank God for that. But, I mean, it's like, I can understand. You want to go after a guy like Richard Reed and some, the real bad guys, of course. But this is some kind of, not very bright thug out of Chicago who has fantasies of his accomplishing things. He thought about, evidently he talked about a dirty bomb to somebody. And what he did is he said, what you can do is you can separate the uranium into the plutonium by swinging a basket around your head, a pail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you would get radioactive material to do a bomb. I mean, that is so outrageously crazy as to be laughable. But the government was taking this seriously, as if this fool could pull something like this off.
We're talking with Lou Cook, K-O-C-H. He's blogging the Padilla trial for FireDogLake.com, and you can read his post there on the web at FireDogLake.com. Lou, there are two co-defendants, Adham Hassoun, a Palestinian computer programmer accused of recruiting men to be Al-Qaeda fighters from his home in South Florida.
Right.
And Kifa Jayusi,
yes,
a Jordanian-American school administrator from Detroit, accused of providing money and equipment to terrorism groups overseas.
Right.
Is there any remote connection between these three co-defendants?
Well, there is conversation. Look, Padilla converted when he did time, did a year in prison in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
He converted to Islam, and Hassoun mentored him. There's no question he did mentor him. And Padilla wanted to go to Egypt and Arabia to make the Hajj, and Hassoun helped him. Now, there is no question that Hassoun and Jayusi are not really people you want to invite for dinner. They're absolutely very pro Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Their taped conversations of them talking about having heard a interview on CNN with Osama bin Laden, and they were talking about how wonderful he was. Now, okay, now that's that. That's those two guys. Padilla was never heard and never heard the interview. He has no comment on it. So what in the name of God is Padilla doing in that courtroom? I'm not there to talk about those other two guys. I mean, look, they may have been planning some stuff or thinking about doing some stuff. That's not my concern. Padilla is my concern,
mm-hmm,
because the whole thing is so absurd.
And Hassoun and Jayusi were not held in a Navy brig, denied representation, contact.
Well, they had lawyers the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and that's what, and they didn't have attorney generals of the United States prejudicing the jury. Now, all of a sudden you're getting all this guys from Homeland Security saying their gut is bothering them, and we're all getting all twitchy. Now, that's a way to send a message to the jury. Hey, we can't take any chances. We got to lock everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they start locking up citizens A, citizen Padilla, then, you know, maybe citizen Peter B.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, you know, I've got those unpaid parking tickets from Chicago.
Well, you used to be able to fix them. That was a long time ago.
Hopefully the statute has run. Lou, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. Lou Cook is with us, K-O-C-H, he spells it. And you can read his work at firedoglake.com. He's been covering the Padilla trial in Miami, where the government rested its case on Friday. We'll find out if he thinks that whether the defense will even put on a case, given the flimsy evidence presented to date. And if you have a question, bring it on now. It'll be monitored by the NSA for quality control. Call me toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes before the hour. Professor Ted Postal from MIT will join us right after the top of the hour news. We're going to talk about this latest boondoggle with missile defense. We've already blown $120 billion on it, and now we're blowing what's left of our relationship with Russia over cockamamie plans to deploy some advanced radars and other toys that don't really work in the Czech Republic and Poland. We'll talk about that with Professor Postol coming up in just a few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Lou Cook, K-O-C-H, a veteran journalist from Chicago who is covering the Padilla trial in Miami and blogging it all up at firedoglake.com. And, Lou, I imagine you've covered quite a few trials over your career.
Well, I think I covered two great trials. One was, as a cub reporter, I covered the trial with Julius Hoffman presiding of crime syndicate boss Tony Accardo.
Ah.
Great trial.
Tony Big Tuna, was that his?
Yeah, Tony Big Tuna Accardo.
Yeah.
All right. The second great trial I ever covered was the Conspiracy 8 trial before Judge Julius Hoffman. So,
well, I just took a chance in asking you about that because I was talking with Katrina during the break. And my brother is married to one of the daughters of Franklin McMahon, who is a courtroom artist. And
oh, yeah, of course.
He drew a picture, a painting of Julius Hoffman, which is on my brother's mantle in Oak Park.
Oh.
And it is so spooky to see it because I just remember I had just moved to Chicago and was going to Northwestern at the time of the Chicago 8, then 7 trial. And Julius Hoffman, to me, was the devil incarnate.
Well, you know, I was one of the founders of a magazine called the Chicago Journalism Review.
Right.
Which was formed when a bunch of reporters got beaten up and gassed and the papers didn't believe them. So we formed our own magazine and we published once a month. I wrote an article for incoming journalists from out of town describing Julius Hoffman because I'd seen him crazy as he was. And, you know, the reaction was, oh, you guys from Chicago, you always exaggerate about how bad you guys are. I said, all right, you know, hey, you know, you want to believe it? Fine. Well, they got their taste of craziness in a federal courtroom like they had never seen before.
Mm-hmm. So any parallels at all to this Padilla case? I don't know too much about the judge presiding there.
Well, Judge Cook is a young black woman. She made a ruling very early on, before the trial had started. She had dismissed one of the charges against Padilla. The government appealed to the Court of Appeals, 11th Circuit, which is a notoriously conservative court, and in 14 days, they reversed her. Now, that's considered a slap in the face. There's no doubt about it. So the judge wants, you know, is very, it seems to me, determined to carry this through, to let the jury decide. Now, tomorrow, the defense attorneys will ask for a directed verdict of not guilty. I think there's as much chance of that as there is a fine. Mm-hmm. Hey, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. She'll let it play out and let the jury decide. Now, you know, in a sense, you're getting all over the map jury verdicts. There's a woman I'm writing about in Fire Dog Lake who's a 75-year-old retired D.C. School teacher who protests the war. And she's been arrested and had stay away, quote unquote, stay away orders from she can't enter the Capitol building. Well, she was tried by a jury. They weighed the evidence for 4.5 hours, and they found her not guilty, despite what the government was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, I mean, you know, a lot of people have asked me, what do you think the jury's going to do? And I said, I have no idea. None.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got the slightest clue.
So if your speculation, and it is that the defense will move for a directed verdict, is that based on comments from them or just your observations?
No, that's a standard operating procedure.
Okay.
They're going to consider that, they're going to say, basically they're saying to the judge, look at this paucity of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to use another word. Look how light it is. How thin it was.
Hey, don't give me any fleeting expletives. It could cost me $300,000, Lou.
No, I won't do that. But, you know, almost 99% of the time, the judges will just let it play out. Once in a while, a gross malfeasance, they'll say, no, he's not guilty. But I expect this to play out, and then you know, I think that's the only reason for showing the Osama bin Laden tape. I mean, Padilla wasn't there. He didn't know about it. He didn't talk about it. It inflames the jury. There's no question about it. There's a lot of reason to be inflamed. But you're counting on emotion rather than thought.
Mm-hmm.
And when the jury does that, they, you know, if they go with their gut, their fear, the fear mongering gets through to them. When, you know, again, you know, you've got the head of Homeland Security worrying about dysentery or something with his gut, telling him, you know, that something's wrong. I don't know. I haven't the spot. I'm going down. I'll be there
mm-hmm.
when the jury comes in, and we'll spend time asking them why they voted the way they did.
Yeah. And Lou, do you
can
think?
Can I put in a plug?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I wanted to say, I'm covering this for FireDogLake.com, that blog.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you something. This is one of the most astonishing blogs ever. And I think that any member of your audience would be just delighted and thrilled with the continuing number of stories which go on that blog 24 hours a day.
Well, let's just take one that's up there right now. It's item A, and Christy Harden-Smith, thank you, has been tweaking Harry Reid to basically force the Republicans to go through with their dare to filibuster, and he has scheduled an all-night session for Tuesday this week to call their bluff.
This is what this Fire Dog Lake blog does. It holds people's feet to the fire, and there are a brilliant collection of writers and scholars and attorneys who write in plain English, easy to understand, and they're wonderful.
Lou, we're going to talk to you after the verdict. Thanks for your work.
My pleasure.
All right, Lou Cook, covering the Padilla trial for FireDogLake.com. Professor Ted Postal joins us next as we kick off the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles.
I was a committed Catholic. I was a cradle Catholic. I loved my church.
Years of emotional strife and legal wrangling came to an end here today as the Los Angeles Catholic Archdiocese officially agreed to settle more than 500 cases of sexual abuse by members of the clergy. The agreement calls for the victims to receive $660 million. Many of the victims came to the courthouse to tell their story, like Mark Gallegos.
I was raped by Father Sanchez. When I was 8 years old, I was a good kid.
Cardinal Roger Mahoney was in the courtroom today. He did not say anything during the court session, but did issue an apology. Many of the victims still blame Mahoney for what they call a cover-up. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles, now with more CBS News. Here's Bill Whitney.
Shots fired this afternoon at the Colorado State Capitol in Denver. Rick Salinger of CBS television affiliate KCNC reports a man brandishing a gun was shot and killed.
What we understand at this point is a man attempted to enter the temporary office of Governor Bill Ritter. State troopers were present and opened fire on the man. He was shot several times and seen lying on the floor outside the office. The governor was present at the time. However, he was not injured.
The gunman who refused orders to drop his weapon was heard to say, "I am the emperor and I'm here to take over state government." After hearing 5 hours of pleas today, the Georgia Board of Pardons and Paroles has granted a 90-day stay of execution for Troy Davis, who was scheduled to die tomorrow for the murder of a Savannah police officer in 1989. Davis and his supporters insist he's innocent. Living near a busy road can keep you up at night, and CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports it might also shorten your life.
It's already known that long-term exposure to air pollution can increase your heart disease risk. How? A study in the journal Circulation provides a clue. Researchers find living next to heavily traveled highways like the ones intersecting here in Bethesda, Maryland, can increase your chances of developing clogged arteries. Is your home within 160 feet of a busy road? The risk rises 63%.
On the northwest coast of Japan, frantic rescue efforts after a powerful 6.8 magnitude earthquake that toppled hundreds of homes, killed at least 9 people, and touched off a fire at a nuclear power plant. Hours after the quake, officials revealed that a small amount of radioactive water had leaked into the sea. Golfer Seve Ballesteros officially retired from competition today. He turned 50 in April, and he has back trouble. David Dusak of Golf.com says he'll go down as one of the most passionate golfers ever.
It's not a stretch to say that he was one of the most charismatic of the European players that has come along in a long, long time. Everybody was always watching Seve. He always had a lot of drama around him, and that personality, often fiery and but always passionate, was something that certainly drew a lot of crowds.
But Ballesteros says he no longer has the desire. The Dow up 43 points to 13,950. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Introducing the new Subway Scrabble game, where you have a 1 in 2 chance to instantly win delicious food. Or collect letters and play online for a chance to win one of 10 $100,000 cash grand prizes. That's 10 $100,000 cash prizes, trips to beaches, family resorts, and much more. New Subway Scrabble. Play often, win often. Stop by today.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. legal residents 13 years or older. See store for official rules. Void where prohibited. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc. Scrabble is a trademark of Hasbro in the U.S. and Canada.
We have the working poor, but we also have the working stoned. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
You think most drug addicts and alcoholics are out here on the streets? No way, says a federal government study pointing out the majority have full-time jobs. Based on surveys, 8% of full-time workers admit in the past month they've used illegal drugs, mostly marijuana. The figure's much higher for food service workers, 17%, and construction workers, 15%. The government is urging employers to help employees who have a drug problem. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
They were regulars at the Pizza Hut in Angola, Indiana, a mother and two sons who always got the meat lover's stuffed crust pizza. They were favorite customers of 20-year-old waitress Jessica Osborne, and apparently they liked her, too. Just before moving away, the family returned for one last visit and gave Osborne a $10,000 tip. It's money for college. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy 4 Michelin or VF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 a.m.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Granger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll be right back.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 6 minutes after the hour, we open up the phone lines to hear from you in the free speech zone this hour. All the lines are available, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy said it through the way. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are great. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
Joining me right now is Theodore Postol, professor of science, technology, and national security policy in the program in science, tech, and society at MIT. That's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he picked up his degree in nuclear engineering at MIT and joined the staff of the Argonne National Laboratory. He's also worked on the MX missile, was a science advisor to the Chief of Naval Operations. He helped build a program at Stanford to train mid-career scientists to study developments in weapons tech. And he's been a longtime critic of some of our wayward programs. And Professor Postol, I want to thank you for joining us today here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, my pleasure to be on the show.
And I don't expect you to remember, but it was memorable for me. We talked back in early 1992 when you had published a study about the use of the Patriot missile in the first Gulf War.
Well, I don't remember that, but I can tell you I sure remember the injuries associated with trying to talk about that.
Yes, indeed. And I wanted to share a brief anecdote with you before we get to the matters of the day. You may recall a wacky guy named Sonny Bono was a comedian. He was Cher's husband. He was on television in the 70s. And he was running for the United States Senate in 1992 here in California. And I did an interview with him, which I will not forget, because he was one of the least prepared candidates I had ever talked with. And in a short period of time, he took four different positions on, I believe it was the defense budget of the time. And so at one point I asked him, I said, you know, what about the Patriot missiles? And he said, oh, I think they're great. And I said, well, have you read the report from Professor Postol at MIT? They don't really work, and in fact, the accidental damage when you fire one of those can be greater than actually taking out the intended missile. And he said, he kind of fumbled and stumbled, and he said, well, I don't know about that, but I like what I saw on TV.
Yep. Well, I think a lot of people feel that way, I'm afraid.
Give us a quick sketch. Has the Patriot missile system been upgraded, and does it have any better efficacy today than it did 15 years ago?
Well, it has been upgraded, and some aspects of the system are quite improved, although I think there's a reason to debate whether those improvements are worth the cost and whether they're truly valuable. It has a new, much more agile interceptor known as the Patriot Advanced Capability 3, the PAC-3. That interceptor is much more capable against aircraft. Missiles are still an open question, and that's a significant improvement. Unfortunately, it looks like the system artificial intelligence and management software is deeply flawed, and in fact it resulted in the killing of three coalition air crew individuals, two in a tornado in a British tornado that was shot down early in the war, in an absolutely avoidable accident, and then 11 days later, a Navy F-18 that was also shot down in an in an absolutely avoidable accident. And so its utility against ballistic missiles is still in question. The value of trying to intercept ballistic missiles that are relatively short range and really not precision guided is also still a good question to be raising about whether it's worth doing. And the system, I would say right now, is still a greater danger to our own aircraft than it is to an enemy.
Well, and in populated areas, you know, for example, in Israel, where we attempted to use them to defend against Scuds incoming from Iraq, you run the risk that the debris from the launch of a Patriot and the debris, if it actually succeeded in connecting with its ballistic missile target, that could actually produce more damage than if they just let it fly and land.
Well, I think the debris, if you truly intercepted these incoming missiles, the debris would certainly produce significant damage, probably not equal to the damage of a warhead coming in or a missile coming in and successfully exploding. The damage these warheads do is, no one sensible would want to be near where one of these warheads land, but people do have warning of them coming in, and warning allows people to take shelter.
But don't you also risk just changing the course of the missile and causing it to land and explode as planned?
Well, what we saw in the Gulf War of 91 is that the missiles were erratically changing course anyway because they were unstable. They were wobbling. And as they wobbled, since they were traveling at such high speed, they just erratically went in different directions. So nobody, including the people who launched them, really had any clear idea where they were going to land. A lot of damage was done by Patriot interceptors that for one reason or other dove into the ground. Those can do very substantial damage, especially because in the videos we had of some of these impacts, the interceptor would hit the ground while it still had a lot of rocket propellant in its motor.
Mm-hmm.
So the rocket propellant adds to the explosive effect, and then the interceptor could hit the ground at a relatively low grazing angle, which means that all of this high-velocity debris, rather than hitting the ground and just sort of spreading in all directions, it sort of spreads a path of destruction for quite a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite a serious danger with that system.
Professor Theodore Postol from MIT is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Professor, I wanted to get your comments on the current situation. The Bush administration seems hell-bent on deploying some advanced radars and portions of a missile intercept system in portions of the Czech Republic and Poland. And on the one hand, I think this is kind of ridiculous because we pumped $120 billion into the Strategic Defense Initiative, and we still don't have even a workable prototype. They can't even rig the tests sufficiently to put on a good show for the television cameras. And yet Bush is trying to bluff his way into deploying this system in Russia's backyard, presumably to protect against an attack from Iran. And a number of questions surface, but first of all, why would Bush continue to pursue this, given that over the weekend, Vladimir Putin announced that Russia is pulling back from the Treaty on Conventional Forces in Europe in retaliation for the U.S. plans?
Well, I think this was an extraordinarily ill-considered activity, but it's not unique to the Bush administration. I mean, it's not a uniquely bad decision by the Bush administration. It's hard to know what exactly happened. My guess is that the Bush administration was trying to establish what some people might call a fact on the ground. That is to say, for domestic politics, they wanted to get some facilities into that area that would make it very hard for a future president or administration to close down later. That's only a guess, but it's probably it's got some merit.
Well, did they consider a military golf course? You can never shut those down.
Well, I'm not supporting this approach. I'm just driving it. The problem that's really made this very dangerous is the configuration of this system does make it appear to be aimed at Russian ICBMs. And this, of course, cannot be ignored by the Russian military planners. I could give you very highly informed arguments why this system is not going to be a true threat to Russia. But if I were in the equivalent of the Russian Pentagon, and I was, of course, in the U.S. Pentagon, and I was asked to assess an action similar to what we've done with the Russians, I would say that this is a potentially quite threatening action because it's the beginning of something that could be worked on for a very long time. And although you don't expect it to do well, it's going to constantly be a nuisance that we have to deal with and think about and worry about. And you never can tell what will ultimately happen.
Well, it's kind of like it was a fable that worked for Reagan, so let's trot it out again. Professor, I've got to run to a break. We'll return in just a moment with Professor Theodore Postol from MIT, where he's a professor of science, technology, and national security. His op-ed appeared in the New York Times on July 11th, if you want to look it up online. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the Star Wars hotline now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807. Talk a good time.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Finally, okay, Salinas, Davis Road to Hitchcock. We have several boxes and lanes being reported there. Capitola, southbound 1 at Park. We have a solo vehicle crash center divide. Greenfield, northbound 101 before Hudson. Several boxes of produce scattered. And Salinas, 156 Elkhorn, Elkhorn injury crash.
Estimate of whether or not it's a warhead or a piece of debris that came off the rocket. The unfortunate thing is when you use such high frequencies, the warhead reflects almost no energy, almost no radio back. And so it's extremely difficult to search a large area of sky. In fact, it's not possible to search a large area of sky with these very high-frequency radars. So the combination of the Russian radar, which can search a large area of sky, and the American radar, which could then be used to look at an object and determine to some higher degree of certainty whether or not it's a warhead, work together in a way that would make a defense much more robust, of course, assuming the defense is properly engineered and has a chance of working, which I have doubts about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you accept Mr. Bush's frame of reference and you accept his statements at face value that he wants to build a defense that's going to provide substantial capability defending Europe as well as the United States and with its other components, Azerbaijan is an immensely better choice of a place to have a Russian radar, and also for the Americans to maybe negotiate an agreement to have an American radar next to the Russian radar, or if the Russians or Americans are not comfortable with that, you could put an American radar in Turkey. And between these two radars, you would have a system that, at least on paper, in theory, has a much better chance of working.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that these radars would be bordering Iran would also remove the apparent threat to Russia, because the radar in the Czech Republic, when it's placed in the Czech Republic, looks like it's designed to acquire Russian ICBMs, when in fact a radar in Azerbaijan and or Turkey would look like and in fact be much more capable of acquiring, you know, ICBM, you know, if you believed ICBMs were ever going to come out of Iran, it would be in a much better position to do that. So you would in effect have a defense basically using the same components that Mr. Bush's talking about deploying in Poland and the Czech Republic that would defend all of Europe, which the current defense will not be able to do,
and
it will not threaten Russia.
Professor, just about a minute remaining. Aren't we in a hopeless cycle of bluff here, billion-dollar bluffs with lives in the balance, because the phony notion of missile defense could cause a lot of different scenarios to occur where one side believes a bluff of the other and acts, improvidently?
Well, I think we're already in that period. I think what my guess, I want to underscore I'm guessing, is that Putin could not have come out so aggressively against the U.S. without having essentially a political consensus within his equivalent of cabinet or major ministries, which means that we are probably seeing a sea change in the Russian attitude toward how they are going to deal with the United States and the West. That is to say, we will see other sharp negative reactions when the West is perceived to be testing Russian patience. And this is not a good sign, because we should be in a period now where relations are getting better and softer rather than harder and nastier.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that this is the leading edge of something far more serious.
Well, thank you for your expertise and analysis, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.
My pleasure. Theodore Postol, Professor of Science, Technology, and National Security at MIT. Now to the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome for the rest of the program. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, and you know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome right now, right here. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. You want to talk about missile defense? You want to talk about the Padilla trial? Well, those are just a couple of things we've touched on so far today, and you're welcome to comment. Again, my number is 888-5, Peter B. Interesting. Line 3 is ringing, but line 2 is not. So I just picked it up from you there, Katrina. Because I always suspect that this is a telemarketing call. And is it? Hello? Nobody there on line 3. Sometimes when the lines ring out of order, we can pick up the out of order line, and somebody's offering us something fabulous that we don't need. 888-573-8372. Fill up the lines, and let's talk about what's on your mind. And just played the Stones' Miss You. Because I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone for about 3 weeks. And I don't want you to blame Karl Rove or imagine that some nefarious group, a vast right-wing conspiracy, got a hold of me. It's called a vacation, and I'm really looking forward to it. I am joining members of my family for a reunion in Italy, in the state of Umbria, a little town called Todi. Not T-O-A-D-Y. It's spelled T-O-D-I. And I'll be leaving on Wednesday. So I wanted to tip you off that for the remainder of this week and all of next week, Brad Friedman will be sitting in. He'll be connecting up to our secret studio here from Houston, Texas, at the studios of Pacifica Radio in Houston. And he'll be doing the show, as I mentioned, this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all of next week. And then the following weeks, Christine Kraft, who is my friend and colleague from KSAC, that's the Progressive Talk Station in Sacramento, she'll be plugging in, and you'll hear her program. You'll be able to use the regular Peter B. toll-free number to reach her. And she's a great host who I hope will do a terrific job. And I invite you to be very warm in your welcome to Brad and Christine. Call them and, you know, argue, be obstreperous, that kind of thing, because that's what makes talk radio great. So that's my plan. And if you want to talk to me, there's a good chance to do it, or tomorrow we'll be here. And then I'll be flying out on Wednesday and looking forward to some downtime with my family. Well, when Lou Cook was on earlier in the program talking about the Padilla case, he said, can I give you a little plug? And I said, sure. And he did a plug for the website Fire Dog Lake. And Christy Harvey, she's got three names, Christy Harden Smith. She has been blogging there over the last couple of days, trying to whip some spine, some courage into the Democrats. And while we can't blame her entirely, it seems that Harry Reid has gotten the message. And he has decided to force his Republican colleagues in the Senate to put up or shut up on the notion of an up-and-down vote and the issues that lead to a filibuster. And as you know, the cloture rules in the Senate mean that unless you have 60 votes, they can gab, 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 yak, yak, yak all day long, and you can't move forward and take action on that. The only thing you can do is pull that particular piece of legislation off of the bill, off the schedule, off the floor. And so Harry Reid said, Republicans are using a filibuster to block us from even voting on an amendment that could bring the war to a responsible end. They are protecting the president rather than protecting our troops. They are denying us an up or down, a yes or no vote on the most important issue our country faces. Now, behind this, if you do the math, the Democrats are within striking distance of peeling off a handful of Republicans to produce a majority. Not a 60-vote majority, not a veto-proof majority, but a simple majority. And by calling the bluff on the filibuster, this could actually lead to a vote as soon as this week on the Reid-Levin Amendment to the Department of Defense Authorization Bill. That's next year's budget, $650 billion going to be burned at the Pentagon. And if the Reid-Levin Amendment is approved by the Senate, it then becomes a part of that bill. So I think this is an interesting move. Now, over the weekend, I learned from thinkprogress.org that Harry Reid made another comment that I'm not so pleased with. He said he is keeping impeachment off the table. And I believe he even cited Senator Barbara Boxer of California as having pressed him for impeachment and to support it. And this occurred on a new radio show hosted by a man named Cappy McGar. And I haven't heard the show, but I read a little blurb about it. And it does appear that that is Harry Reid's position at this time. So if you're an activist and you know the phone numbers, you might give Harry Reid a call and give him a piece of your mind politely. Tell him, hey, calling their bluff on the filibuster, good thing. Taking impeachment off the table, not such a good thing, Harry. Give him hell, Harry. Don't give him an easy way out. Don't take impeachment off the table. To your calls now, 888-5-PETER-B. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. That is so disappointing to hear that he did that. That's between them. It's just ridiculous. Criminals of this magnitude, they should be held accountable. But
well, you know my position. I believe that the Democrats should never have shied away from impeachment. I think that, you know, just like a cop walking down the street with a book of parking tickets, you don't just tell people, oh, we're not enforcing the laws this week or today or until Bush gets out of office. It's inexplicable to me, Dave.
Well, I want you to have a good time on your vacation and check in with us every couple of months.
I will as soon as I run out of cash. You know, Bush has damaged the dollar so badly. Just to give you an idea, the last time I was in Europe was in 2001. And the euro was worth about 86 cents to the dollar. And last time I checked, it's $1.38 to buy a euro.
They haven't got to come to grips with how really bad it is over here yet. Anyway, one I wanted to discuss with you, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that any member of Congress that's seriously wanting to end this war would get themselves accepting money and from the very pro-war Israeli lobbies, AIPAC. And do you have any idea of what percentage of our Congress is in that spot, owned by them?
I don't know how many, just focusing on Democrats in the House and Senate, I don't know how many of them accept money from AIPAC, but I would guess it's a clear majority.
Yeah. I see that sometimes it comes down to 410 or something like that, going pro-Israel, even if Israel's totally in the wrong, and if Israel's government is in bed with the Bush administration, they're wrong on damn near everything.
Did you hear Chris Hedges earlier today?
No.
Oh, well, if you care to go to the archive and check it out, Chris was on for an hour from 3:30 to 4:30 Pacific time, and in the second half between 4 and 4:15 there, he was quite explicit in his criticism of Israel and the U.S. backing of Israel. And he wrote a piece right before our 4th of July that you could find at truthdig.com, talking about declaring independence, the United States declaring independence from Israel. And it's not a joke. It's a very serious point. And I think you understand my position, Dave, that I believe that Israel has a right to exist, and I want it to exist. I believe that Israel needs to work harder to coexist with its neighbors. I believe that while Israel is building a wall and has operated in a military manner and conducted a lengthy occupation, that they need to rethink their policies because they are simply stoking the fires. And by siding with Fatah, and that's another thing I discussed with Mr. Hedges, by siding with Fatah against Hamas, they are cementing the opposition in the occupied territories. And Hamas will be able to continue to recruit. One of the other things that I talked with Hedges about, which I find quite interesting, Dave, is that the U.S. and Israel and other foreign powers have sided with Fatah. We've gotten Israel to release hundreds of millions of dollars in tax money that Israel has routinely collected for the Palestinians over the years and routinely coughed it up. And when the Hamas group won election in the parliament, Israel summarily, unilaterally, cut off the distribution of that money. Well, they've agreed to hand over some of the money, to hand over a small number of Palestinian prisoners, but the Hamas no longer can form a quorum in the Palestinian parliament because so many of their elected Hamas members of parliament are locked up in jails in Israel.
I did hear most of that. Now that I think about it, I was in the computer shop with my usual nightmares, but
okay.
I had my little portable radio attached to my shirt. So.
Uh-huh. So that, to me, it just spells more misery, because by failing to be an honest broker, by failing to hold Israel to a higher standard in dealing with the occupation, dealing with the suicide bombers, and trying to find a way to move forward on a land for peace basis, the U.S. has simply made things worse, and I think we're going to continue to do so.
It is not unusual for those with the outrageous military power to not only flex their muscles, but become a big-time bully, and we're seeing it happening.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thanks for your call today.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to talk with you. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join the conversation here. 888-573-8372, and lines are open for you right now. I do want to acknowledge Jane Hampshire is one of the driving forces behind FireDogLake.com, and Christy Harden-Smith blogs there. We did talk to Christy when she was covering the Libby trial last year, if you recall, and she's a very bright, interesting woman. So that's one of the things I wanted to mention. 888-5-PETER-B. And who's on the line next here? Let me scroll down and see. It's Frank. Frank, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Donna at Big Sur. I was reading the wrong part of the screen. Hello, Donna.
Well, frankly speaking, Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if you heard, but I listened to Randy Rhodes today.
Uh-huh.
And she was telling about Cindy Sheehan is making a march. They're actually walking. A whole lot of people are walking to Washington to present John Conyers, with a petition that's been online called impeachbush.org, I believe. And as of today, they got 1 million signatures.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, I believe the one where they were collecting signatures that I know of is impeachcheney.org.
Well, perhaps I've got it mixed up. She gave out a lot of information, and that was earlier this afternoon when I heard it, and I was like, oh, my God, 1 million signatures. That's a pretty good count. So I find it interesting, and also there's quite a lot of people marching with her, And I just think that the American people are starting to stand up and say, we don't want to take this anymore.
Well, many people have probably seen this. Bill Moyers on public television came out in favor of impeachment. You can see the clip. I watched it at truthout.org.
Yes, and you mentioned that.
So I am encouraged that we are seeing more and more people speak up and support impeachment. As I mentioned, I cannot understand why Harry Reid would again take it off the table. There are different ways to play it politically, and I do understand that during the campaign last year, the Democrats didn't want to give Karl Rove additional targets to practice on. But, hey, we're in the clear on that right now. And
excuse me, I've got a lot of wind out here in Big Sur.
Yeah.
But what they were saying is that it's still very important, whether it's impeach Cheney or impeach Bush, whatever the right address is, hopefully someone can find out. But they're saying that it's very important now for people to keep doing this for the next few days.
Yeah. The one I know is impeachcheney.org.
Okay.
And there may be a link there. The other place you can go is to afterdowningstreet.org, democrats.com, impeachpack.org.
Okay.
I don't want to confuse you with too many more.
No, but you know what? They did mention that one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go online and look it all up. But I just thought your listeners would like to know that this is taking place.
All right, Donna, I appreciate the call. Now, can you hold that camera phone up and just give us a nice panoramic of Big Sur?
I don't have a camera phone. You're just going to have to believe me.
Oh, come on. This is radio, theater of the mind. Play along.
You just have to believe me. The mountains are beautiful. The pine trees are flowing in the wind, and the ocean is rolling along.
Thanks
and
for the postcard.
It's just another beautiful day in paradise.
All right, Donna. Good to hear from you today.
Good to talk to you.
888-5 Peter B. There's room for your call in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
There we go. Okay, let's take a look at the latest. Let's start off with a big problem working right now. It is in San Jose, Hamilton Avenue, the on-ramp to eastbound 17. Minivan and a truck involved in a crash there. As a result, traffic at a stalemate, at a real standstill right now. So be advised about this particular one. Also looking at a problem right now in Greenfield, northbound 101 for Hudson. Several boxes of produce still being reported there. Capitola, southbound 1 before Park, three-car crash, center divide. No other problems on Highway 17 at this point. Also want to mention that we do have a Salinas, West Market Street, northbound between Lincoln and Villa, shut down for pavement work on a 24-hour basis through Saturday, the July 21st. And this report brought to you by PG&E.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Can you see it?
Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got you. Oh,
8 minutes in front of the hour. We'll take another phone call or two in just a moment. 888-5 Peter B. If you have a comment for us. And you know, on radio, we don't do death so well. We don't do obituaries that well. And radio's this kind of zippy medium where people drop in and out. And so, like I say, we don't really focus on the downside of life, some of the darker issues, maybe perhaps as much as we should. But I wanted to take a moment here and just pay tribute to a guy named Mike Webb. Mike worked in radio in San Francisco and Seattle for many years, a known progressive, an out gay man. And he had great problems over the last couple of years. He lost his job, and it's not clear to me who was right or who was wrong. But he was fired from his last radio job in Seattle. And he and I spoke a couple of times about trying to find ways to get him back on the air. And we talked about different possibilities. Never were able to really pull it off or pull it together. And this past spring, Mike Webb dropped out of sight. His body was found at his home, murdered, a couple of weeks ago. And there is a memorial service in Seattle this Thursday, and I clearly won't be able to attend. But I wanted to put the word out, because perhaps among our listeners up and down the left coast, there are people who knew Mike Webb, who called his program. And he was on a powerful station out of Seattle late at night, so I know some of you folks listen late at night. I hear you calling some of the clear channel, not capital C, capital C, but the stations that get out well beyond their localities. And so if you knew Mike Webb, if you ever called him, if you recall listening to him, I invite you just to pause and reflect for a moment. And, well, I'm really saddened by the news. And I hope that people will gather in his honor and celebrate his life in Seattle this Thursday. Jake's on the line from Arcata. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. You know, that's awful news to hear about Mike Webb. I used to call Mike Webb when he was on Cairo. Before the corporate parent of Cairo basically destroyed that station, throwing all the progressives off. And, you know, Mike was hilarious. I mean, he used to have a great show. He used to be on, you know, at night, like 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Pacific mm-hmm. time. You play great music, and he was a great guy. As far as a radio host goes, he was one of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's too bad.
Well, his last couple of years were very difficult, I know that, and we don't still know what circumstances led to his death, but he's presumed murdered and was found dead in his own home.
That's awful. Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I did call, Peter, I know you brought up the whole issue of the AIPAC fundraiser for Congressman Mike Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when Mike Thompson was on your show, I think, for the one and only time.
So far, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully he'll come back on. He said he wasn't at all worried about an attack on Iran. He didn't think it was even a possibility. If you pay any attention to it, it's becoming a growing possibility. Since we all realize things.
Oh, Jake, you've been bitten by the cellular goblins. Oh, you're still there. Turn your head a little to the left.
Okay, is that better?
That's working. Go ahead. Why don't you try us back, Jake? I want to hear your thought, but this cell isn't going to work. I can tell that. And while we're waiting for Jake to dial back, this just came in from the Washington Post. The president announced today he'll sponsor a new international conference this fall aimed at reviving moribund Middle East peace talks and paving the way toward a final settlement that would see a new Palestinian state existing side by side with Israel. Well, it's only 5 years too late, and, you know, it's about time that his priorities reflected this. And it'll be interesting to see if it's a face-saving device or real diplomacy. Let's see who's here next. It's Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Peter. Hey, I wanted to turn you on and everybody else on to a book that was written way back in 95. Actually, it's two of them. It's By Way of Deception and The Other Side of Deception, about a rogue Mossad agent, Victor Ostrovsky, who was so disgusted by the criminal activity of the Mossad that he started to out him. And the book is so fascinating. It starts, in the book, it tells in 1995 how the Mossad agents are talking about tumbling Saddam Hussein. And then it goes on about, just all the Ariel Sharon and our good old Larry, Building 7, Larry Silverstein,
yeah.
Best pals. It is just an incredible read, and I just urge everybody to read it. Victor Ostrovsky, The Other Side of Deception, all about the Mossad and all the dirty tricks. It's unbelievable.
Thanks, Dave. I'll see if I can pick it up on vacation. Jake, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, quickly. So Northern California APAC is having a fundraiser for Congressman Thompson in St. Helena down in Napa County, right. August 12th.
Yep.
And I encourage everybody, call Congressman Thompson and ask that he does not support this intended attack on Iran that APAC is probably the most powerful lobby in the country pushing for right now. In fact, part of this fundraising letter even talks about Iran. And since we know Mike Thompson doesn't think Iran is even an issue, we don't need to worry about it. Well, his meeting, his private fundraiser with APAC definitely leads to some questions, Peter.
It sure does. Thanks for bringing that forward, Jake. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Peter.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, one more time before vacation for a Peter B. Collins show.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Ocean's 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium in the American Tin Cannery. Ocean's 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Ocean's 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a massive settlement of clergy sex abuse cases. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles has agreed to pay $660 million to more than 500 people who say they were molested by priests, nuns, and other church workers. Cardinal Roger Mahoney offered another apology, but for victim Lee Bashforth, it wasn't enough.
Roger Mahoney offered a very disingenuous and hollow apology. And he is sorry. I believe he's sorry. But he's sorry he was caught covering up these crimes.
More from CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes.
The issue of what church officials knew and when they knew it still remains sealed in the personnel files of the individual priests. Now, those files will be turned over by the L.A. Archdiocese. However, they are still going to have to be reviewed in court before they're made public. So some of those files may never be released. But some victims are going to finally get to see what was in the files of the priests who abused them.
Nationwide, the cost of these cases to the Catholic Church now exceeds $2 billion. There's a dangerous new fire threatening hundreds of homes in southwest Reno, Nevada.
Conservatively, 150 to 250 homes are now threatened by the Hawken fire.
that broke out this afternoon.
Fire Department spokesman Steve Frady says at least 120 acres of dry brush and timber have already burned as the wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. No homes have burned yet, but the flames have come close enough to scorch some backyards. President Bush announces a new peace initiative in the Middle East.
I will call together an international meeting this fall of representatives from nations that support a two-state solution, reject violence, recognize Israel's right to exist, and commit to all previous agreements between the parties.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will chair the conference in an effort to bolster the government of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas over its rival Hamas. Mr. Bush is pledging $190 million in new aid. The White House says President Bush still strongly supports Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. They talked today in a secure video conference. You can hold your breath as you pass traffic spewing fumes, but it's not an option if you live nearby, and a medical study says that's a problem. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnotta reports from Bethesda, Maryland.
Living here in one of these brick homes next to a junction of interstate highways may make for easier commutes, but a study in the American Heart Association